You can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to John chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 7. John 16, 7. I've entitled tonight's teaching, God, is that you? It's a question. God, is that you? And I think we've oftentimes asked ourselves, how do I know it's God talking to me? Right? So you're not alone. If you've ever asked yourself, how do I know is that God that's talking to me? I think most of us have wondered that. But tonight we're going to look at the Word of God and hopefully stop wondering and know that it's God talking to us. Before the day of Pentecost, things were different than they are today, okay? You had burning bushes, in the case of Moses, talking donkeys, right? In the case of Balaam, fire from heaven, in the case, well, many cases of Israel, sticks were being transformed into snakes. Again, with Moses, there were soaking wet fleeces in regards to Gideon, and voices that you could actually hear. If you remember, Samuel thought that he actually heard somebody talking to him, right? And we might think, well, those were the good old days, right? What I wouldn't do to see a flaming snake riding a soaking wet donkey, right? Wouldn't that be cool? Then I'd really know that God was talking to me. But it's all just kind of a trick, right? All we have today is Holy Spirit, right? All we have today is Holy Spirit. That's all we got, right? No, we have something greater than burning bushes, and that is the Holy Spirit, right? We've got God in Christ in us, right? And the Word of God is the what? Will of God, right? And God invented words so that he could communicate with his creation, namely us, right? That's why God made language and words, so that he could talk to us, right? And in John chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Now this is Jesus Christ speaking to his apostles. "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Okay, so Jesus spoke these words to the apostle. And the Comforter, again, is Holy Spirit. And there's a figure of speech here where it's likening it to a human, right? The Holy Spirit is known as a he in these verses, right? It takes on sort of personal qualities like speaking and things. But it outlines a great principle that God gives the Holy Spirit in you information, and then that Holy Spirit feeds it to your brain. Okay? So it looks something like this. Okay? God gives information to the Holy Spirit inside you, represented by the dove there. And that Holy Spirit gives information to your brain. Okay? God never intended man's brain to function without Holy Spirit, right? When God created man, he was three parts: body, soul, and spirit. He invented the brain to be part of that whole operation along with Holy Spirit. And the renewed mind is a renovated one to think God's words, be that written or revealed to him. So there's a direct correlation between the renewed mind and revelation. So verse 13, we'll look at it again. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, right, our Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he, the Holy Spirit that we have, shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he, the Holy Spirit, shall hear, and where's he hearing it from? God. Okay? Information is going from God to the Holy Spirit. That shall he speak. And again, figures of speech is likening it to like things that people do, so it's easy for these apostles to understand what he's talking about. But that speaking is that Holy Spirit giving information to you. And he will show you things to come. Okay, so that's the principle. The Holy Spirit shall hear from God, who is Spirit, and speak to you via your brain, your mind. Right? So that you understand things. So does revelation come from God to you through your mind?
No.
It comes to you through Holy Spirit, and that like speaks to your brain. Like it's like a thought. It's like faster than a thought, right? We've all sort of said like, I just suddenly had this idea. Like I just had this notion, right? And that's God revealing it to you, right? That's how it's revealed to you. It's like quicker than a thought. It's in your brain. It's just there, right? You don't need a burning bush to hear from God. You don't need a wet fleece to know that God's giving you an answer. You just, no, it's in your brain. It's in your brain like a thought, okay? Now, revelation can activate your senses as well. That's available to do, right? There's records in the Bible of seeing visions and hearing things and smelling things. That can happen, but the majority of the time that we get our information from God, it is simply revealed to us like a thought, okay? And thoughts are based on words, right? Words have to make sense for them to be understood. If I said, can you hand me your Bible right now, you would know what to do, right? But if I said something like, hand me your Flammerlige, you wouldn't know what to do, because no one knows what a Flammerlige is. It doesn't make any sense, right? You don't know what that is, so you can't do anything with that information, right? So it has to make sense in order for you to process it, okay? And God talking to you is the same way. It's just a thought that you understand. Go to Exodus chapter 7, verse 8. So, Exodus 7, verse 8. And one of the reasons why God did it this way is illustrated here. Exodus 7, 8, it says, and the Lord spake to Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then you shall say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a what?
Serpent.
So take your stick and throw it on the ground, and it will become a snake. That's what he told him to do. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a snake, a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became what? Serpents. Okay, so here we go. Things in the senses realm can be counterfeited by devil spirits, right? God told Moses and Aaron what to do, threw down the stick, and it became a snake. That was of who? God. Then Pharaoh called in his buddies, his magicians, his sorcerers, and who did he get their power and information from? The devil. Did they do the same thing? They sure did. So things in the senses realm can be counterfeit, right? God told him, throw down the stick, turn into a snake. Pharaoh said, look what I can do too. Right? So how do you know the difference? How do you know the difference? It's harder to be 100% sure it's God if it's in the senses realm, right? It's a little bit harder. But you know what's pretty cool? The devil can't read minds. He can't. Right? Satan can't read minds. Okay? Because if he could, there'd be all kinds of chaos going on, right? God kept things, you know, secret from the adversary for, you know, ever. Revelation that was given and not spoken. Things like that. So the devil can't read minds. He can't know what's going on in your brain. And where can God communicate to you? In your brain. Right? So you can hear from God things that not even the adversary would know about. Right? And that's one of the advantages for him being able to communicate that way. The adversary can hear spoken things. If it's out there in the, you know, you talk about it, then it's out there to be heard. But if it's in your brain, it's kind of locked away. Our minds were designed to think God's word, written or revealed, whether it's here, written word, or it's given to us, right? We're designed to think God's word. And if the real us is Christ in us, then it's abnormal for us not to be communicating with God. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Right? If the real us is Christ in us, is that Holy Spirit, that full way that God intended us to be, then it's abnormal for us not to be communicating with God. And whether that word is written, as again, as in the Bible, what we have in our hands, or it's revealed to us, they're both God's word, right? If God puts a thought in your head, it's him talking to you. It's God's word. If it's here in the pages, we know it's God's word. So doesn't it make sense that the information is ascertained in the same way, right? Through our brains. If we're looking at it on the paper, we process it through our eyeballs and we understand it and process it where? In our minds. And if God gives us information via the Holy Spirit and it pops into our head as a thought, it's the same avenue, right? It's the same avenue. So what isn't already written, or sorry, what is already written is what we need to renew our mind to, so that we are more ready to receive that which needs to be revealed to us because it's not written, right? We want to keep our brain on top of what we should know so that God can give us the things that we don't know, all right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God, are you all holding it? This is the word of God. The word of God is quick, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents or intentions of the what? Heart. And in the word of God, what is the heart? It's the innermost part of your mind. Of your mind. So the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions in your brain. What does that mean? Well, it's kind of like a metal detector, right? You can test the thoughts that come into your brain with God's word. Right? That's what it's there for. If you start thinking a thought, test it against what does the word say, right? If it aligns with the word, if it makes sense according to the word, then it gets to go through without a beep, right? Walks on through. Every time I walk through one of those things, I go, okay. And I'm just so happy I got to the other side and it didn't beep, right? And that's your thought. If the thought comes in that doesn't align with God's word, then it goes beep, and you know, that's not the right thought. That can't be coming from God because it doesn't line up with what's in the Word. So the Word of God is a discerner of what's coming into your brain. You need to know what's in here in order to start to understand and pick out what's going on up here. Is that God, or is that just me having a wacky-do thought? Right? Does it line up with God's word, or is it just something crazy I started thinking? Right? That's what the word of God helps us to do. So we need to know and keep our brains sharp on what's here in the written word so that we can better kind of filter out and test what's coming into our head. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans 8, 32. It says, he that spared not his own son. So God didn't spare his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, but delivered him up for all of us, for us all. How shall he not with him, along with that, freely give us all things? Right? What else remains now except for God to communicate with us? Right? To interact with us. He already gave us his son. And he did that so that he could have a family and a relationship with him. Right? That's why he did it. He wants us to be talking to him. He wants us to be listening to him and communicating with him. That's what he wants. He's so blessed that he found somebody in you who's willing to take a stand for him. Who's willing to walk and talk with him. Right? I come to the garden alone to walk and talk with him, to take time out of my day to talk to God and to listen to him. He's just so blessed he found somebody who wants to do that, right? He already gave all that he could give. What else is there to do but have a relationship with him? Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. So that's what God wants. So when we understand that it's not going to take a burning bush or an audible cry or, you know, a talking donkey to get through to us, that God just wants to talk to you, then we start to listen and we start to expect it. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That eternal purpose is us. That's you and me. You and me. He purposed that in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we, in Christ Jesus, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, of the believing that Jesus Christ had. Right? So, you are the eternal purpose. And it's not just access. It's access with confidence. Confidence. Right? God wants so desperately for us to see it that he made us worthy. He wants us so desperately for us to see that it is he who made us worthy. Right? He wants us to know that. He wants you and me to know we're worthy. We're worthy to be talking to him. To be communicating with him. That we deserve to hear from him. We're his kids. Right? Of course he wants to talk to us. Sin consciousness, insecurity, feelings of inferiority. Those are the things that block out our confidence in him. Right? So we need to cast those things aside and believe what the Word of God says. We have boldness. We have access with confidence in him. Right? Those things will only destroy any expectation of communication with him. Right? To think, oh, he doesn't want to talk to me, or I can't do that, or what does, you know, why would he want to talk to me? That's all lies. And those are lies that the adversary pushes. Right? That's what he wants us thinking. But God wants us thinking, all I got to do is talk to him. Right? We deserve it. We are no longer legally owned by Satan. He can't put thoughts in our mind at all. That's possession. Okay? Right? But we don't belong to Satan anymore. We're born again. We've been bought back. We need to quit worrying about being wrong. Well, what if that's not God? Right? We're righteous, which means we'll be right with God. We'll be right. We don't have to worry about being wrong. Because we're righteous. If we're faithful to the fundamentals of speaking in tongues, of studying the word, and then speaking and holding forth that word, the things that enter our mind will be from God. Because guess what? He wants to help you do those things more. That's what he's called you to do. He's happy to help. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Right? Either this book is the truth, as Dr. Werewolf said, or it's a bunch of baloney. What are we wasting our time for? I think you guys are all great. I like fellowshipping with you, but it's the word, right? That's what's important. If we just get together every week to eat dinner and to hang out, it's just a dinner party, right? But we got to believe the word of God. And the word of God says here in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh where? In you. God works in you, both to will, to want to, and to do, to carry it out of his good pleasure. Right? That's the truth, then that's what God wants. We got to take action on the word. We got to take action on the word. Right? That's how we'll know. God wants to work in you. It says so. But we've got to act. Right? We get hung up on, well, what if it doesn't work? How will I know for sure? I've asked myself that 100,000 times. But we'll only know if we act. We have to act. Right? You have two choices. You either act on every thought that you get and start to practice it and get understand it and become right, or you question every thought you ever get and you never act, right? One of those two things will eventually work. One of them will leave you never doing anything and never understanding it. So we can either act on every thought and grow, or we can just keep guessing and never act. You know, we ask ourselves, well, what if I'm not sure? Are you sure it's not God? If you're sure it's not God, then don't do anything. But if you're not sure, then act, right? If your heart is to walk for God, then he's going to cover for you. Right? Even for those times where maybe it's not. Okay? Maybe it was just a thought that you had. You checked it and thought, okay, I don't see anything funky going on here. It aligns with the word and nothing happens. God's going to cover for it, right? God's going to see your heart, you know? He's going to take care of whatever little consequences may have come from it, right? Because he loves you and he wants to see you acting, right? Learning how will only happen with that first option. We got to try it. We got to act on the thoughts that we get, and we got to say, hey, God's talking to me, God's working with me to will and to do of his good pleasure, right? And that's how we'll grow and get better at it and really understand when God is talking to us, when those thoughts are coming from him and he's wanting us to go ahead and put ourselves out there and walk on that word, right? So God will give you information. He works in that Holy Spirit he's given you, talks to your brain, and then we've got to decide, this is God, I'm going to do it, right? It's that simple. We just have to kind of put our feet out there and do it.